There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Welcome to Dubai Today. I'm Claire Sharrock, and it's Thursday, so it's time to get our teeth and our taste buds into the Thursday brunch, of course. It's a very busy studio this morning, bursting with culinary talent. Let's do some introductions. First up, a return to Dubai Today for the amazing chef Atul Kutcher. Atul is a twice Michelin-starred chef, credited for changing the way people experience Indian cuisine. He's the first Indian chef to ever receive a Michelin star, and 3 years ago, just over, I think, he brought his wonderful flavours here to Dubai with his restaurant Rang Mahal at the JW Marriott Marquis. Welcome to you, Chef Atul. Good to have you back.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Sitting next to him, Amrish Sood, winner of numerous awards as well during his career. He's speciality chef at Rang Mahal. Hello to you, Amrish. First time in the studio with us, I think.
Second time, Claire.
Oh, second time as well. Also a welcome back to you. Okay.
Thank you.
Good to see you. And it's also a warm welcome to MasterChef India winner Kirti Bhutika and finalist Ashima Arora. They're sitting in here. Great to have you ladies with us.
Thank you so much, Claire. Good to be here.
And I guess if I can start with you, Chef Atul, if you could just explain what you're all doing here together, what's been going on the last couple of nights at your restaurant at the Marriott, because there's been a battle of the chefs, am I right?
Yes, so we have this fantastic format at Rang Mahal called Battle of Chefs, and we have been doing it. This was the third season, and we were very honored that Kirti and Ashima decided to come and join us. Initially, we thought me and Amrish will get together and fight these ladies. But then I thought it'll be so unfair. So unfair. So we shared the responsibility of mentoring each one of them and create a battle. And it was a fantastic battle. Those 2 days just went past so quickly. But we had some amazing time, didn't we?
Yeah, totally.
And some amazing food cooked, I'm sure. Let's ask how it went, you guys over there, the master chefs. And don't tell us who won yet. And of course, there were two nights, so we don't know whether it went all one way or it was a draw or what. We're going to reveal that a bit later. We're also going to be tasting some of the dishes that you cooked last night. Let's start with you, Ashima. How was the experience, first of all, of MasterChef and then last night and the night before?
Okay, so MasterChef was a bit unexpected for me. I wasn't prepared. I just went for the auditions and it just happened. And I found myself in the top 16. So it was because of my dad who pushed me to do it. So when I was in the top 16, then I realized, okay, this is it. Now I need to be serious about it. So that's how it started. And then I just went on and everything went great. And I was appreciated, which gave me a lot of confidence to move on. And finally, I found myself in the top two, competing like in the finale with Kirti. We are both very good friends. So it was great. It was like a life-changing experience.
Friendly rivalry in the end, was it?
Yeah, totally.
What was it about your cooking that made your dad say, you have to go for this?
Obviously, dads always have a soft corner for the daughters, and I am totally my dad's daughter. So he loves whatever I make, and he is actually my best critic because he doesn't always say, okay, this is like really good, but he criticizes my food really like all the time. So I think he saw something in me. He saw that I could do it. That's why he pushed me. And yeah.
If you had to summarize it for somebody in a line or two, what is your flavor? What is your taste? What is your style of cooking? Could you?
All right. So I am more into desserts and bakery. Chocolate is my, you know, the weapon I have. Put chocolate in everything.
I like the sound of this.
So yeah, that's it.
Okay, let's move over to Kirti, who of course was the winner of MasterChef India. Congratulations. That must have been a huge, you must be, well, very hugely proud of yourself for one, but it's a really popular program, isn't it, in India?
It is. And I was amazed to see how many people know me when I stepped out of the show. You know, it's just amazing because yesterday you are a home cook and suddenly you're a celebrity chef in your country. It's a mind-blowing experience.
And what's your speciality? If chocolate as well, or?
So both Ashima and I were dessert queens of the competition. And both of us did, in fact, make desserts for our final round. And yeah, I think the funda for me, for life and for cooking, would only be hard work and sugar. two things.
Hard work and sugar, that's all you need. The two ingredients. Yeah. You heard it here. And how was the last two nights at Rang Mahal? How did it go? How did you feel being there, cooking under that pressure, I guess, in competition? I know it was fun too. But how did you feel meeting all of the people there to experience your food? What was that like?
I think both the experience of cooking in the kitchen under the guidance of such esteemed chefs, I think that is one thing I would cherish all the time, all my life. Because, you know, I've worked in a few kitchens in India, but then this kitchen was just something else. And also speaking to the people who were sitting, eating our foods, and they were so confused which one to choose, which made me feel a lot better because, you know, maybe both Ashma and I have proved the MasterChef India standard out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You're both representing that, aren't you? So let's be honest now, Amrish, what was it like? What are they like? How do you rate these young ladies just starting out on their food career journey?
I think I was amazed to see the passion in both the ladies in the kitchen. They were very professional, very methodical, and their understanding of flavor was very, very unique, which you don't see in people or the chefs of their age. And another thing which I was like really, really happy about, once they entered the kitchen, they were very comfortable with the team. So I think that makes a very unique and very good environment in the kitchen. So that was something which is very, very stand out well while they were working in the kitchen for the last 2 or 3 days.
I mean, you're specialty chef in a kitchen in a restaurant like Rang Mahal, which is very well known. You're kind of answering to the big dude over here, Atul. What's it like? Can you remember what it's like to be the age of these ladies coming into a kitchen like that for the first time? Intimidating is what we're all led to believe because we watch these cooking programs and people shout at each other, right? It's hot in there.
Yeah. So the main aim was like to make them feel comfortable so that they can perform to the best of their abilities. So that is what we were looking for, and that was a brief event to the team and everybody who was in the kitchen, just to make them feel comfortable as if they are working in their own kitchens.
So Claire, I would like to add here that, you know, we all have images of kitchen being kind of adorned by really furious chefs, sweat coming down.
We've all watched Gordon Ramsay too much, haven't we?
They have choppers in their hand and they're getting angry. But throw in two young girls like this, they are all pussycats.
Really?
They were around these girls, helping them and trying to teach them what they know best, learning from them as well, to be honest. So I was actually standing in the corner, I was looking at it, if I ask for something, it'll take some time for me to get the attention now, because these guys are totally mesmerized by these two little girls and who are so good at their craft.
And
which was really good.
Can you back that up, Ashma and Kirti? Did that happen? Were they lovely with you?
Yes, they were. Like, even for us, the image that we have watching, as you say, Gordon Ramsay and all those chefs, but it's totally different. Everybody is so sweet to work with. It's like a team. It's like such a well-oiled machine that goes in the kitchen. So, and being a part of it was a great experience. We've learned so much. And yes, they're totally, everybody's very sweet, very helpful. And they're on your call, like, anything you want, it's right there, you get it.
Wow, even I don't get that.
There you go. Excellent. So let's quickly clarify, so who mentored you, Ashma?
I was mentored by Chef Atul.
Okay, and you were mentored by
Chef Amrish.
Okay, so we're going to catch up later on how the teams got on. We're also going to be tasting a couple of the dishes that they did create last night and the night before for those very lucky guests. We're also going to be talking through some food news. All the guys in the studio have bought some really interesting sort of developments in the food industry. We're going to be looking at that. And we'd love to hear from you today as well. Of course, it's a holiday weekend. What are you cooking up for this special New Year's weekend? Are you going to head out maybe, or are you cooking up something for the family? We'd love to hear from you. In the studio still with me, Chef Atul Kutcher, and also MasterChef India winner Kirti Bhutika and finalist Ashma Arora. Great to have you with us. And Kirti and Ashma went head to head in a battle of the chefs over the last two evenings, mentored by Atul and Amrish. And shortly we're going to try a dish from each of them. And they were the things among the many treats that guests were able to experience over those last couple of nights at Rang Mahal at JW Marriott Marquis. But first, let's take a look at some food news.
Food news.
I'm going to start with your story, Kirti, because it's kind of, well, it's one of those that I've read about before, but they keep promising us that this really is happening. And I think it freaks some people out.
So this news is about a very scientific development that I read about and I researched a lot about in my college. So it's called meat biofabrication, where you don't really kill animals, but you produce the same kind of meat. What they do is they take the cells out, say, of a cow. So they take the cell of a cow, grow it in a very suitable environment in the lab. And then from cells, you have a group of cells. And then from that group of cells, you have tissues. And then from that tissues, you have you really have real meat that tastes pretty identical to the real one. Of course, there are drawbacks to it. You don't have a proper cut of meat. You have something that's more like a patty. So you wouldn't have a steak, but you would definitely get the feel and taste of meat. Also, this entire process is really, really expensive. So, of course, it's not in the market now. And I don't think it will be in the near future. But I'm sure we can aim for it because you know, a lot of people are turning vegetarians because of so many health issues, you know, attached to eating of meat and non-vegetarianism. Also, so much of greenhouse gases that are being produced because of farming of so many animals. Also, of course, for ethical reasons. So I think this is something that we really need to look out for.
So we're talking about growing meat in a lab. It will be meat because it's from cells of an animal, so it's not like a meat substitute. Let's just clarify that as well. But you can't get a steak, but you could get maybe pieces of meat. So as a culinary wizard yourself, is that something that you could see yourself using in one of your recipes and being quite happy with it rather than what we would use now?
Of course, I've been born up and brought up vegetarian, so I was always looking for alternatives for meat, and this, for ethical reasons, is something that I would want to use. But of course, like I said, it's not very viable at the moment, but I would definitely want to try it someday.
What do you think, Atul? Because I'm like, yeah, okay, it's meat. So ethically, as a vegetarian, if I was a vegetarian, I'd be able to eat it. But would I want to? Because the taste would still be meat. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
I sit somewhere in the middle because I'm looking at both the things very carefully. Yes, she has a very valid point that on one side, by farming animals on our farmlands, we are denying right crops and also creating a lot of greenhouse gases, which is a massive worry for the world. And on the other side, here we go again. We are trying to fabricate meat, and I don't know what all come with it. There are already massive health issues related with whatever we eat in today's time. How many more hormones we are going to pump in there? I don't know. I'm really worried about it.
Yeah, I did see it in an article referred to as Frankenmeat or something like that.
That's the right word.
Yeah. But would you, as a chef, be okay using it in the dishes that you serve as well? Because, you know, cuts of meat are very important.
Claire, I'm a very traditional chef. And for me, where meat was procured, which grassland they were grazing on, all those things mean a lot to me, to be honest. So I think even if this meat happens in my lifetime, I would be sitting on the other side.
Because the sourcing of ingredients is so important to you, and this isn't there for you yet.
Absolutely, absolutely. As I said, I'm a traditionalist, and authenticity has got very little meaning in my dictionary, but tradition has a lot of time, to be honest. And I feel that whatever we were taught over ages, to be honest, over centuries, it cannot go waste because of one office practice or one factory practice. It's going to take a long time. It needs to be proven really with time, and time is the best factor in this case. New meat, I'll rest it.
Let's see. And Kitty, as a vegetarian, do you need it anyway? Can't we get our protein from a myriad other sources? Why do we need this anyway? Shouldn't we be persuading people to be vegetarian, either all of the time or at least some of the time?
So I wouldn't say this is a meat alternative for vegetarians. I would say this is a meat alternative for the non-vegetarians. So people who want to eat meat and have been eating meat and want to switch to prospective better alternatives, I really don't know. I've never tasted this meat, and this is just something that I read about and I researched about. So of course, if there is something that is worth being called a good meat substitute, why not for the non-vegetarians?
Absolutely. Your thoughts on this one, Ashma?
So I like to talk about the eating and enjoying part of it. So you know, I am a meat lover, and I come from that part of India, Punjab, where they actually call tandoori chicken is the national bird for Punjab. So I when I eat meat, I want to you know, enjoy those flavors and those textures. So I'm really not very sure how those textures will be replicated in this meat. So I'll love to try it, but I'm not sure if I like it.
The jury's definitely out on this one, but it does lead quite nicely into the story that you have brought to the table as well, Chef Atal. Tell us about that one.
So I have two points here. As we as our population is growing on this earth, the biggest thing we have to worry about is our food resources. We are going to run short of water. We are going to run short of food. We have to look at the alternatives. And what are the alternatives? So as a group of chefs, we have debated this many times. And one of the debates that took me to Brazil, and it was a big chef conference there. And I met this very intelligent chef from Japan who had come up. And the topic there was, what do we do with our carbohydrates? How do we kind of replace them with the traditional existing ones, i.e. rice and wheat? So different chefs had given different thing, but this one stood out. Narisawa was the name of the chef who came up with this technique. So he bought a very indigenous breed of cedar wood from Japan, and he created a powder out of it. He kind of made a powder in front of us, pretty much like the way you would create flour out of wheat. And he baked cookies and he made bread out of it, which was absolutely delicious. I couldn't believe it. And he had used a different kind of water as well, water which was a kind of nurtured with dashi. And instead of putting bonito, he had used, again, some wood shavings to get exact the same flavor. It was mind-boggling, to be honest.
And the bread tasted
absolutely
fine. You want
fine.
Bread to taste.
Exactly. And that was the fun of it, to be honest. And he used absolutely no chemicals. He kind of processed it, fermented it in such a way. He showed the way he would go around doing it. And I absolutely loved it, the way he had gone about.
So it's a more sustainable crop, in his opinion, and gluten-free?
It's gluten-free.
So that's going to open up a whole new way for people to bake who struggle at the moment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, if we go after it, then the whole world would be planting more cedar trees. And that's good for the earth.
Absolutely. Well, along with those trees, you're also bringing to the table that we should all be eating more insects.
So that's the protein alternative. I was actually trying to fight off Kirti and saying, why do we need to make spare meat? You know, we don't need more meat. Why can't we eat other sources of protein in the world? So I grew up in India, and East India, not very far from where Kirti is born. And there were a lot of tribals who live around there. And I saw some of them working on our farms and our houses. They would collect insects. And With great interest, I would ask them, what would you do with this? And they said, well, eat it, to be honest. And they used to fry them and make a snack out of it. And then again, when I was in Brazil, I witnessed that. So I went to meat market and fish market. Next to that was insect market. And there were all varieties of insects being sold. I tasted some. I won't say they were wow, they were delicious.
What did you taste?
I tasted different types of cricket.
Okay.
And
which are very high in protein, aren't they?
Massively high in protein. Yeah. And it's used in Amazonian Indians' diet quite regularly. And they are pretty healthy. They are very stout people, I have to say that. And they didn't taste bad, to be honest. Could I eat them every day? No. But if I had to eat on a desert island, yes, I would.
Isn't it, for a lot of us who don't eat insects, it's a squeamish thing, isn't it? But actually, there's a lot of places where they are eaten and bought into the cuisine. So I guess once you've added the flavours and the various marinations, maybe they're going to be just as nice as, you know.
But if you look at Cambodia, Thailand, they all eat it. It's very common. It's not very difficult, to be honest.
Ready for deep fried ants, Kirti?
As a chef, we're always very acceptable to food. You know, we have to be. I mean, I tasted meat for the first time in MasterChef. So I'm
Did you? That's really interesting. Was that something you felt you had to do to know what was
going on? I had to, and I was pretty receptive to it. I mean, I wasn't like a normal vegetarian would be, you know, very repellent to eating non-vegetarian or trying or cooking for that matter. Loved non-veg. I still love non-veg, and that's something that I say all the time. And about insects, again, I've never tasted it, but I mean, if I had to, and if I had to cook with it, and if I had to try it just for the, you know, you know, just for the taste of it, because I'm into this industry, I would.
And that's part of being a chef, Ashma, being open to new flavors and ways of cooking, I guess.
Yes, exactly. I'll be very excited to try the insect part, and I'll be very interested in putting and inculcating all that in bakery, in pâtisserie, in desserts somehow. I've heard about it. I've heard about ant proline being made, so I'll be really excited to try and taste that.
Coming soon. Ant chocolates, is that what we're saying?
All the way from Amritsar.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
Beetle desserts. Okay, well, we look forward to that one. Would you eat insects? We'd love to hear what you think. They definitely are a source of protein that doesn't damage the environment to such an extent. So maybe you agree with trying these things. Plenty more to come from my guests today. We've got two dishes to taste shortly. One from Kirti, one from Ashma, and really looking forward to trying those. They've been serving them up over the last couple of nights as they've taken each other on in the battle of the chefs at Rang Mahal. It's very exciting. My name's Claire Sharrock on Dubai Today today, and it's the Thursday brunch, and food that smells amazing has just been put near me because we're about to taste some dishes from our master chefs who are in the studio. We've got the winner of MasterChef India, Kirti Bhutika, and we've also got the runner-up, Ashma Arora. They were cooking with chefs Atul Kutcher and Amrish Sood over the last two nights at Rang Mahal here in Dubai, taking each other on in the battle of the chefs. And let's start with you, Kirti. What are you serving up for us today?
So what you have in front of you is a dish which is really close to where I come from. It's called Dab Chingri. Dab meaning coconut in Bengali, and chingri meaning prawns. So it's basically a prawn curry. And you have some something which is bajra, which is millets, basically, some starch with it. And millets, again, bajra is something which is very close to the place where I originally come from. That's Rajasthan. So it's basically, a marriage between where I belong to and where I've grown up.
Okay. So I was going to ask about the grain. So I can see that. It's like a slightly larger, it looks a little bit like a larger couscous, I guess I could say. But I'm going to taste a bit now. So talk us through it while I'm eating. Okay.
All right.
So what do you think in the terms of flavors, what all you have added to that, Kirti?
So I've added a lot of, it's coconut and Bengali spices I've added. So we have this thing called panch foran, which is mustard seeds and fennel seeds and onion seeds. And fenugreek seeds
and
cumin. So that's the kind of flavor that I've added. And coconut, of course, is the base.
It's delicious, of course. And I'm definitely getting the coconut, but not very coconutty, which is good, because sometimes you can find the coconut drowns out the spices. And you just named so many spices. And that's one of the things about Indian food, isn't it? You guys have a really long ingredient list.
We're spoiled for choice.
You are, but how does that start to know what marries together at all?
If you look at India is actually, it's a notion of a country in my view. It's a concept. We were 50 different countries before British arrived, and we were brought together for administrative purposes. British left, we decided to stay as a country. So we were allowed to keep our ethos, our language, our religion, our way of life. Every state has their own way of doing food as well. So the way I look at it as a professional chef, I think if I had to go by spices, I think I'll be writing a book which will never end, to be honest. It's really difficult. Best is to divide the country on base the kind of oil they use. So North India uses ghee, sunflower oil, or butter. South India uses coconut oil. East India uses mustard oil. And West India uses cold-pressed sesame seed oil or groundnut oil. Now, each and every oil has got a smoking point. So smoking point is the highest temperature oil can go to. And as a cook, I know I have to extract the spice flavors because each and every spice has got an essential oil. So when I throw the spices, the temperature of the oil has to be really high. Higher the temperature, the better is the extraction. Now, based on that, subtlety of Indian food can be defined. So when I put food in my mouth with my eyes closed, I can say what kind of oil was there, because oil has a character of its own. plus the spices that follow, my mind works out that where I'm coming from.
That's incredible. I can just taste that it's absolutely amazing, by the way, and it's gorgeous. I guess that's okay because I'm not the chef. So what oil was used in this one?
So basically for the curry, we, like I said, we used a lot of Bengali spices and coconut milk and turmeric. So that's where you get the color from. Mm-hmm. So that's, and we did not put a lot of spices in it. We did not make it spicy. It had to be that mild, you know, flavor. You had to get the coconut and you had to get that, you know, sort of Bengali sense to it. And also use some lemongrass for another added, you know, dimension to the curry.
Because it's got beautiful aromas as
right,
well, hasn't
so
it?
Used lemongrass as well. For the starch that you have, that's a gluten-free starch, really healthy, high on fiber. And we use a lot of bajra or millet that we've served.
Millet. And could you buy that in the supermarket here?
Easy.
Yes, you can. So, yeah, it's gluten-free and I think it's got a beautiful
texture.
It's got a beautiful texture, I think.
Because it's got bite still, hasn't
it's
it?
Got,
it doesn't go to
yeah,
mush like
right.
some grains.
So it's got a bite like quinoa, but it's still chewy like rice. Mm. So I think I really like the texture of bajra or millets. And yeah, I think that's about it.
What about, we've used a shrimp or a prawn in here. Is that something, Amrish, that's from that area to use seafood or something that you bring into your cooking? And can you add seafood to any Indian food, or is it only from specific areas?
Basically, like in India, we prefer to we mainly see seafood cooking on the coastal areas of India, like as where Ashima is coming, where Kirti is coming from, Bengal. We use a lot of fish in the cooking.
Right.
If we travel on the west coast of India, Mumbai, Goa, Kerala, we use a lot of seafood. The place from where I'm coming from, we don't do much of cooking with seafood, but of course we use a lot of lamb and chicken in our cooking. But in northern part of India, you'll see less of seafood and more of the lamb and chicken.
I think we would use river fish
and,
yeah. And the best recipe Punjabi people have is to how to deep fry the fish,
right?
So that's the only thing we know. So that's the problem. But I had a little advantage of growing up around the country. So I grew up near where Kirti comes from, and I also studied in Chennai and lived in Kerala for a while. So going back to your question, whether any seafood can be thrown into Indian food, any Indian food, maybe not, but most of the coastal food, yes. And in this particular recipe, you could use a combination of ingredients like scallop, prawns, shrimps, mm-hmm. different types of fish, even lobster would go incredibly well.
And are we serving this as a starter or as a main, or how we deliver
so
it?
We had this as the second course.
Okay.
So it was more like a starter.
It was a 5-course meal.
Yeah.
Right.
So we gave small portions to people,
yes.
And they had to go through 10 plates. So that's a lot of food, to be honest. So they both were cooking one seafood each. So she cooked prawn and Ashima cooked salmon.
Okay.
She made a kind of salmon salad with that. It was beautiful as well.
Do you think, I think a lot of people don't, or worried or nervous to take on Indian cuisine at home, other than if they're from India, of course, because of that, the mix of spices and understanding how to treat them that you were just talking us through there, Chef Atul, in terms of the temperature of the oil and things like that. But it's that sheer quantity as well of different ingredients and understanding, you know, how am I going to get the right flavours from that? What do you say to people who might be intimidated by, I guess, the ingredient list?
So yes, I've been in touch with a lot of people who do not eat or, you know, make Indian food because they're so intimidated by the recipe itself, and they're like, I don't think I can do this, you know, let it be, let's just cook pasta. But honestly, I think Indian cooking is not that bad, really. It's only about the spices. The rest of the ingredients that we use is pretty much, you know, it's rice and wheat and vegetables and meat. That's it. The main thing that sets Indian cooking apart is the spices. And there are few spices that we use a lot, you know, things like cumin powder, turmeric powder, red chili powder. These are staple spices, if I can call them, for Indian cooking. So if somebody wants to just begin, these are simple spices you can get everywhere. And really, Chef Atul made it sound so scientific, but it's, of course, it is science. There's science to every kind of cooking. But then if you want to try and, you know, you want to just try Indian cooking, it's not that bad, really.
You can learn to feel it, I guess, as well.
I would say about the use of spices, the best way to combat that dogma is to bring your salt and pepper sense in.
Mm.
How much salt you need, how much pepper you need. Spices are nothing but seasoning.
Mm.
So if you just take that sense to your cooking, you'll be fine.
Yeah, and can you get it horribly wrong though, Amrish? Could you mix?
I get
could
it
you
horribly
mix
wrong
things
now
that
also.
Don't go well together? Do you?
I do. It happens, but I'm not going to talk about it. But it happens.
It happens.
But are there things that really conflict that you should never use together? For example,
For example, the kitchen.
I wouldn't say there is anything that is.
Yeah.
There's no sin, so to speak. You know, there's nothing that those two things don't go together.
Spices, like
it's
for
a
chef,
personal.
Yeah, for a chef, spices are like how you feel them. Like once you start feeling them, you start understanding them. Then they become your friend, and you start using them in your cooking. And it is your application with your spices that reflects your personality in the food.
Okay. So that's a great way of getting your personality into the food because you've got a lot of options.
There you go.
Yeah. Like when we say if a food which has got a lot of like curry leaves or mustard or mustard seeds or peppercorn, we can say it's a South Indian food. But maybe which part of South Indian the particular curry is coming from, you can identify whether it's from Kerala, from Tamil Nadu, how the chef has used the spices, you can identify the region of the food.
Let's move on to our other dish. And this one's from Ashma. Do you want to talk us through this?
So it was the fourth course for my menu. So it's a lamb dish. Again, my menu was all about India. I took different parts of India and I developed dishes from the different parts of India. So this is from North India. It's a Kashmiri lamb Rogan Josh, which I have filled in a tart. I've given it in form of a tart, which is... it's topped by mashed potato, which is again flavored with some spices, very indigenous to India, that part of the region in India. It's a herb called kasuri methi that we use. And then there's this jus that I've given with it. It's again a Rogan Josh jus and a simple salad with some pickled beetroots, plums and apples on top. Just to add the dimension.
Absolutely delicious. And I was quite surprised to come across the mashed potato in there. Now, that's right up your street, isn't it, Atul?
Yes.
Because there's a nice British-Indian combination going on there.
It is, definitely. It's a proper shepherd's pie.
It's absolutely
spicy
delicious.
Shepherd's pie.
Yes, the inspiration came from there.
But neither of the dishes that I've just tasted are too spicy. And again, I think that's something where people get it wrong by adding too much heat spice, if I can say that. Is that what you'd say?
Yes,
I think
exactly.
there are a couple of spices like chili and black pepper. These are the two which have the heat. And if you work with the mild character of those two, because in the market you get really hot ones and you get really mild ones, and buy something that you like. I personally don't like cooking with really hot chili. So we have always experimented with the lower heat chilies, and hence the subtlety of the spices always comes together. And the other spices shine through. Because chili just kills everything otherwise.
And some people don't like that feeling, do they? The heat. Yeah. And so that can put people off.
True.
And what we do in our kitchen, we take the chilies, we boil them, we remove the seeds, and then we make a fine paste of that. So you have a nice color, nice flavor, but you don't have that heatness of the chilies.
Oh, so that's a good tip. Is that something people can do at home? So
it's
you buy chilies from the supermarket, then what do?
You de-seed them, and then you boil them. Two times. Like first boil, you throw the water, then second boil, and then you strain it. You make a fine paste of it along with some oil, and you can freeze it. You can store it in the chillers.
Is that something you would have done when you were cooking at home for your dad?
Not exactly, but because my dad loves chilies,
so he did like the heat.
Yeah. Yes, he does. So I don't do that. But in this particular dish, we've used Kashmiri lal mirch again. That's a type of chili that's not very very hot. So that's helped us maintain the flavor.
What about the lamb that's in this dish? Very, very tender.
Yes.
How is that prepared, or is it a particular cut, or is it something that's cooked for a very long time?
Yes, it's kind of slow. We've taken the leg of the lamb, and it's very slowly cooked with all those spices, and we just let it simmer for a while. It's just like stewing, like similar.
So it was kind of cooked for almost 24 hours. It was braised for 24 hours, very gently.
Well, whose idea was the mashed potato?
Chefs, of course. That's the benefit I got.
It's absolutely lovely, and it is a really wonderful combination. I imagine that both of these dishes were very popular last night. Can you give me a hint of the reaction you got? Let's start with you, Ashma, because you've got the mic with you.
Yeah, I got a wonderful reaction. People really liked it, and plus the addition of the salad on top really gave it an edge. So I people really appreciated it.
Kirti, what about yours?
You can just see it on their faces, you know, when you walk out of the kitchen, to see the guests, and they're already looking at you, waiting for you, waiting to tell you how much they liked your dishes. And the good thing was that both Ashima and I, when we entered this entire challenge and battle, whatever, we told ourselves that, you know, we're really not here to win or lose. We're here to show Dubai that Indians can cook. And I think we did that.
That's a really fun way of doing it. Absolutely. I mean, I personally, if I'd sat through those dishes and more from you, I wouldn't be able to choose. So I would have definitely ruled it a draw. But we will find out very soon what did happen in that battle of the chefs. We've been trying some delicious dishes whipped up at Rang Mahal over the last two evenings by, well, dream teams, really. We've got Chef Atul Kutcher in the studio. We've got Amrish Sood as well with him. They were supporting and mentoring MasterChef India winner Kirti Bhutka and finalist Ashma Arora. Remind me again of how the team stacked up, Amrish. Who was with whom?
Kirti was with me. I was mentoring Kirti, and Ashima was with Chef Atul. Chef Atul was mentoring Ashima for 2 days. Yeah.
Okay, so we've just talked through two of the lovely dishes that you served up last night. And for me, the flavours in both, the colours in both, the aromas, absolutely gorgeous. I'm a big fan of Indian food, but I love the subtlety in both those dishes as well. We were talking about the fact that they don't blow your head off in terms of chili, which is great. What I do want to know now, well, let's reveal what happened over the two nights. Did we have a clear winner, Amrish?
Yes, we had a clear...
Did we though?
No. I'll not reveal that now. I'll not reveal that now.
Tell us what happened at all over the last two nights.
If he ever said that, yes, we had a clear winner, I would fight him out for that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
It turned out to be a little bit of a draw, didn't it?
Kind of, yes. But what happened most was that people really had fantastic time. That was the best thing. And the synergy between these two ladies is just amazing. They're not best of friends also, but they're great cooks who support each other's ideas as well. And I quite enjoy that. There's a very friendly, loving rivalry between the two. And people could see that. It reflects through your food. Your moods actually come through your food. That's what it showed. And they both cooked some amazing dishes. I enjoyed each and every plate of it, to be honest. And thank you for giving us such a great time. However, competition is competition. So I went out with my baton and ball and everything, and I made sure that Ashima bats really well while I protected each and every boundary.
You were on the boundaries, running around the boundaries, were you?
So what happened was that on first day, me and Ashima had a clear victory. So Ashima had a clear victory, and I quite enjoyed that. But next day...
We added salt in Ashima's food.
And Amrisha and Kirti really... heated up their game. They picked up. They cheated, I would say. They changed their dishes. They changed the looks of it.
It's called tweaking.
Yeah, tweaking. And if it wasn't in the rules that you couldn't do it, then it's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I know. There was no rules. So next time I'm writing the rules.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm going
to
say.
I think it's nice to come back really to the point that you made, Kitty, which it wasn't okay, it's a fun way to do it, to have the competition, and I'm sure the guests that were there had a great time, and sort of setting up that rivalry is a fun way to do it. But for you both, it was about demonstrating what MasterChef India can do, because this is how we cook, and here's the wealth of flavours that we can come up with.
Yes, that was the aim, and we were really excited, you know, because the challenge came after being on MasterChef, because we're really young and people don't expect that such young ladies could, you know, do so well in kitchen. So we wanted to show everybody that yes, we've got this talent, and we're learning, and we really wanted to showcase what we could do. And basic aim was to satisfy and see happy faces, and that we saw. So yeah,
mission accomplished then. Yes. Yeah, you're both winners then. So you mentioned there, yes, you are both beautifully young. What happens next for you? Where is MasterChef taking you? Let's start with you, Kitty. You won MasterChef India. That's massive. Is food now your career? Where are you going next?
Food would have been my career even if I would not have won MasterChef India. But yes, of course, because I have won, I'm getting more opportunities than my fellow contestants, I would say. Getting to work with and under very, very, very top chefs. And I really want to work under some more chefs to just tell myself that yes, I know enough, because I still don't think I'm the best. And I mean, I've won the title, of course, but I still don't feel like I'm the Master Chef of India. I mean, that's such a big title, and there's so many more people.
But
that
you are. So what's the plan next? I guess I'm you know, where do you see yourself? Do you want to be? Are we following in Atul Kutcher's footsteps here? Several Michelin stars, several books.
Chef Atul has been there, and we've been in contact with Chef Atul a lot of times after MasterChef. And Chef Atul has made it a point to ask us both what we are doing and give us his very valuable suggestions. And Chef Atul, you know, with being a chef, is a very, very, very good entrepreneur and a very successful one, as we all can see. And that's what he tells us all the time. Last night, he also said that he would really want the two of us in his kitchen, but he knows that we are there to become entrepreneurs ourselves, and that's such a big thing to say.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, I would. The plan is to, you know, open up a chain of patisseries in India and hopefully abroad very soon. So let's see
keep
how this goes.
Keep us posted. Good luck with whatever you're doing.
I will.
Keep
thank you
posted.
So much.
It's been
much.
Lovely to have
thank
you in. What are you about you, Ashma? What's next for you on your food journey?
It's almost the same. I would love to grab every opportunity I get to work with such great mentors like Chef Atul. He's been kind enough to give us all these opportunities, and Chef Amrish as well. And I'm looking forward to working more, like, for my experience, because there's so much I need to learn, so much I need to, you know, gain. And then, of course, move on to opening my own thing in my hometown and then start off from there. So, yes, that's the plan.
Fantastic. Well, we wish you both every luck. Thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your wonderful food and your wonderful insight, and congratulations again to you both. Now, Atul and Amrish are sticking around. However, before we finish up this hour, Amrish, you've also got something new on the horizon. Am I right?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
So basically, like, I'm more involved into food research, and I'm planning to travel India again for at least, like, I want to take a short break for 6 months, and I want to travel India again just to learn more about regional Indian cooking, which is now very popular in India. And also I want to learn more about the regional Indian ingredients, like, as Kirti has used bajra in her cooking. So that is a very, very regional ingredients. So I want to travel and learn more about Indian food for the next coming 6 months.
But you've got a new project, haven't you, at the Marriott?
Yes, we are very much excited.
I was giving you the plug there, Amrish. Yeah. Take it, go with it.
Yeah, we are very much excited to open a new the bar, Cafe Atua. That will be an extension of our Bridgewater Tavern, and it will have a nice canal side view. And the setting will be very comfort, very casual, very comfortable. So once you are in, we want you to be there at least for 3 to 4 hours. And the menu which we have planned is basically the contribution is given by all the chefs who are working in the kitchen. So you will see some Indian flavor, you will see some Peruvian flavor, you will see some Thai flavor. So it's a very interesting project that we are looking forward.
Really bringing all of that together, yes, all together. Of those different wonderful flavors, yeah, that we can enjoy.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.